A very warm welcome to the SaaS Business Podcast, specifically for those who run dynamic businesses, are SaaS pension trustees, and have decided to take full control of their personal wealth economy. In the podcast, I share with you how you can understand the power of this high-performance combination of business, SaaS, and wealth generation to create the power, freedom, and choice in your life and creating your multi-generational legacy. I am so passionate about business and SaaS pensions that I wrote a number one Amazon bestseller on the subject, SaaS Pensions, Creating Extraordinary Levels of Compounding Wealth. To find out more about how SaaS can be a game changer in your personal economy, join thousands of SaaS trustees on our Facebook group, SaaS Alliance, and join us at www.saasalliance.org. Now let's get on with the podcast. Welcome to another episode of SaaS Business Podcast, and I'm delighted to welcome David Johns as our guest on this podcast episode. A very warm welcome, David.
Morning, Mark. How are you doing?
Very well indeed, thank you. Very well. So, David, we got to know each other within the last couple of years, and I guess SaaS is something that brought us closer together. So maybe you could start by introducing yourself, your background, who you are, where you come from, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so I'm David Johns. I live not far from Leeds, kind of Leeds-Bradford area. I've been corporate all my life, pretty much, until the age of 50. I got voluntary redundancy from after 20 years at Lloyds Banking Group in the IT department there. So I walked out of there in September 2018. I've been full-time in property ever since. 20 years at Lloyds, built up quite a decent pension. I was on a final salary pension there, and that's what enabled me to get my SaaS up and running and allowed me to do some of the stuff in property that I've done so far.
Fascinating, and certainly something I can relate to, you know, having that two or three decades in corporate life. And what were some of the decisions that you made to decide to leave corporate life? Could you give us an insight into what your thought process was there?
Yeah, I guess the pivotal moment for me in terms of realizing that there was a different way to corporate. I mean, the education system in this country pretty much teaches you how to go and be an employee. Unfortunately, that seems to be the way of it. And I didn't really realize that until, yeah, the last couple of years, really. So, but I found a book by a guy called Rob Moore. I think a lot of people will know Rob. So Life Leverage was the book. I picked it up at the airport on the way to a holiday in 2016 and spent the whole of the holiday reading the book and kind of slapping myself in the head going, what have you done with your life? Which might have been a bit of an overreaction, but it just opened my eyes to the fact that there is an alternative to corporate life out there. And that really set me on a journey of learning and podcasts, a lot of Audible stuff. I've read a lot of Audible books. And just trying to learn about money, learn about business, and learn about how all those things function in a much different way to the way that the corporate world works.
Yeah, very similar for me. Well, you've heard me say before, I wanted to take control of my personal economy. And the one thing I couldn't control, and being I was well remunerated in corporate life, lots of bells and whistles on the package, but I wasn't very resilient. I didn't have a very broad stance. You know, I was predominantly single income. And that challenge of taking control of the personal economy, the pension was the one thing that was a real challenge. How on earth do I take control of my pension at the age of 45? But I guess we'll come on to that in a short while. So how I'm fascinated by the journey and transition that people make from corporate life. I think you said you'd been with Lloyds Banking Group for 20 years. I'd only had two employers over 26 years. And, you know, I've seen around me lots of people who become, well, to be honest, institutionalized. And you stand with the same people on the same train station platform each morning, don't you? They all gravitate to the same crack because they know that's where the doors open. And it takes a big jolt and a big leap of faith. That doesn't come easy. It's easy if you say it quick. So some of the challenges you've had on and maybe tips for people who want to or have decided to leave corporate life?
Yeah, absolutely. I resonate with a lot of what you've said. I mean, you know, being in a corporate role, me personally, I was always striving to try and add value where I could and try and take things beyond where I found them. But to be honest, I was a very small cog in a very, very big machine. You know, at one point, Lloyds Bank had 100,000 employees. So, you know, it sounds a bit brutal, but with the best will in the world, nobody really cared what I was doing. To be honest, I could work as hard as I wanted, and it didn't make a whole damn lot of difference in the scheme of things. And, you know, being able to break out of that cycle and take charge and do it for me, it's been tough. I mean, you know, again, in terms of the challenges, the challenge was I was getting paid at the end of every month. And it's very, very easy to take that safety net and just get paid at the end of every month and know that that was always there. When I took the decision to take voluntary redundancy, yeah, there was risk there, clearly, because I wasn't going to be getting paid at the end of every month. My wife still works full time. And, you know, the only reason I've been able to do this is because she is working full time and she brings money in and she's able to cover most of the cost that's been there since 2018. So it's definitely been tough in terms of cash flow. You know, that's the lesson that I guess I've learned from this. I took the decision to make a couple of purchases in terms of houses and stuff, used a lot of the redundancy money for that, expecting that to come back within a timescale, which would have been okay. The timescale extended and extended as they can do. And, you know, that presented some problems in terms of cash flow. So, yeah, I mean, they're definitely the challenges, is being able to be resilient enough to do that. I could have given up and gone and got a job again, I suppose, but I know that this is the right path for me and I know it will work. We just need to keep at it, and that resilience, that continuous kind of effort to try and do that is the thing that I'm taking out of it. And you know, things have started to come good, but, you know, SaaS, absolutely. If finding that book was my first epiphany, then SaaS is the second pivotal moment that's allowed me to do an awful lot of stuff. So
good. Well, that's a nice lead into to my next question then. So SaaS, how did you find it? How did you research it? And what were those first steps for you like?
So I first heard about it at a PPN meeting, and then I heard about it again. I did a course at Progressive called Raising Angel Finance with Ray McLennan, and there was a talk about it there, and then somebody from Landlords Pension came to Leeds PPN, which is my local event, and I got talking to him after he used to work for Bank of Scotland and Halifax and various things, so we had a bit of a chat about that because I was still working at Lloyds at the time, and I just kind of quizzed him about how that worked and what the process was and some of the things that you could do, and just started making some inquiries, to be honest. And whilst I was in full-time employment, you know, having that defined benefit pension there again was a safe kind of option. But, you know, when I took the decision to take the voluntary redundancy, obviously I would have missed, you know, 10 or 11 years of paying into that pension, which meant that the payout or the benefits I was going to get from that pension at the age of 62, which was my retirement age, frankly, wasn't what I had in mind for my retirement. It was around about 10 grand. And you know, you can't do an awful lot with 10 grand a year, to be honest. So yeah, that was kind of, again, another moment where I had to take a decision and say, you know, do I keep it in that safe, in inverted commas, environment, or do I take the plunge and try and take it out and take control of it? So yeah, that's what I did. When you look at the numbers and you look at the capability, it was a fairly easy decision in the end, to be honest.
So I guess you'd taken that decision already to take control of your future by exiting the corporate role. So I guess you'd already made that firm decision that I will be totally accountable for me and my family. So I guess that led quite naturally into taking control of your pensions, because it's not an easy decision. It's a very big decision to make, and it's not for everybody. I think you'd agree, yeah?
No, absolutely. I mean, there's an awful lot of responsibility and you know, again, an awful lot of ways that you can come unstuck with SaaS. There's rules and regulations and things that you have to do in the correct way. So, yeah, some people, that'll be too much risk or too much responsibility, I guess. So, yes, it's not for everybody. But, you know, I was in the position where I had enough good people around me that knew what they were doing in terms of that. So I could kind of lean on them a little bit in terms of that. But I was also confident in my own capabilities in terms of understanding these things again. And, you know, those kind of 2 or 3 years of that mindset change that I'd gone through since the end of 2016, I kind of understood money and I understood business. I understood, you know, network and having the right people around you. So, you know, I was confident that I could make that work and I was happy to take that responsibility on.
And I mean, you're one of the more active members of the SaaS Alliance Facebook group. And, you know, we really do focus on that nitty gritty of what it really takes to make your SaaS work. And there's some phenomenal stories there that are emerging of those successes. But also that needs to be balanced with the ability to manage that risk. And I mean, you come from a world of banking and structure. And as a SaaS trustee, both of us, we have to take control of that structuring ourselves, don't we?
We do, absolutely. I mean, you know, the last 6 or 7 years of my time in Lloyds Bank was actually in a risk management environment anyway. So, you know, I was kind of managing project risk and delivery risk and making sure that things were testing and there was the R plans in place and all that kind of stuff. So I guess I'm in the mindset for that and I have the experience of doing that anyway. So, yeah, I'm absolutely applying that to the stuff that I'm doing in business and in, you know, properties, my main pillar of wealth building at this point in time. But again, you know, I'm also aware of the fact that I'll need to diversify that a little bit and try and get those multiple streams coming in as well. So we don't want that single point of failure and that ability for somebody to take that income away and throw things into disarray. So yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of learning and absolutely managing that risk is key to making SaaS work.
I've been following closely the progress and the photos you've been putting on the SaaS Alliance community. Could you share with us what you've been doing with your SaaS and I guess the timing of when you got your SaaS and what you've done since?
Yeah, so April 2019 is when my SaaS was fully funded. So my DB pension came across there. I actually managed to find a couple of old pensions that had kind of been sat there gathering dust as well. So yeah, I need fairly small amounts. But again, you know, that's gone into the SaaS and just bolstered that up a bit as well. So yeah, April 2019 was that. And since then, I've purchased a plot of land that I had in a development company that's been bought into the SaaS. I've done 2 third-party loans to other people, one of them being a loan and learn. So there's a developer in Harrogate that is fairly well known in the community, doing some really good stuff. So I'm learning from his team and in the process of what he's doing there as well. And I've done 2 loan backs to myself. One we're doing a flip with on a mixed-use property, which is hopefully coming to market in the next few weeks. So, you know, by the end of March, that should certainly be in the market for being sold. And the other one was a commercial building that I've bought, which is effectively all I've done is bought an income-generating asset. I'm not really adding any value to it, but it is bringing me an income, which is important for me at this point in time. So, you know, eight or nine months, I guess, since it's been funded. So, you know, I've utilised all the funds within there. They're all out there working. So
straight out the blocks. Congratulations. Yeah. That's brilliant. Yeah. Just picking on a few then. So you've acquired a piece of land.
I already owned a piece of land in my dev company and I was trying to get planning permission on it, but buying it into the SaaS allowed me to refinance that. The way it was financed was not conducive to my cash flow at the point in time. So, yeah, buying that into the SaaS and making that an asset that belongs to the SaaS allowed me to free up a bit of money in my business, which was good at the time. So.
Yeah, and that's a great example where a SaaS isn't everything. It sits alongside a number of your other assets and income streams, and it works in concert, doesn't it? And you're the conductor of the orchestra, really, and bringing all these elements of your overall wealth economy, and they really can work together or in isolation. And I love the flexibility of that.
Yeah, it's good. It's a tool in the box. Yeah, it's not the be all and end all, but it's absolutely been an enabler for me in terms of allowing me to take the plunge and do some of these projects. So, yeah.
In terms of returns, I won't ask you to share the specifics, but as we take control of our pensions into our SaaS, obviously there's that challenge to beat the market or beat where it was, which I have to say wasn't going to be particularly difficult where my pensions were. I mean, we did one deal in a 12-month period within our SaaS, and the equity and the appreciation that we forced into that was worth more than my entire 26 years of pension contributions plus the return. So for me, it was just absolutely phenomenal. But you know, as you say, you've got to be equipped to manage the risks in order to uncover the opportunity, haven't you?
Absolutely, and you know, it, without going into the finer details of the numbers, but the loan back that I did to do the flip on the mixed use will be generating somewhere in the region of 30% return on cash employed. So you know, from that point of view, can I grow my SaaS by 10% a year, which you know I think is a reasonable target to try and do, certainly well in excess of what it would have been growing if I'd left it in Lloyds. But you know, 30% return on the cash employed, I'll take two of them every year.
So that's in 8 or 9 months, you've bought land, you've done third-party loans, you've done loan backs. So yep. What does the future hold, David? Where do your plans, where do you see your control of your SaaS in the future?
In the short term, I guess more of the same. My plan for this year, my target for this year is building up that recurring income. You know, that's what's important to me at this point in time, to know that there's money coming into the family, that we can pay the bills and the mortgage and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, certainly utilising the SaaS funds to acquire cash flowing assets, I guess, is the plan for this year. And, you know, get better at what I do and you know, build up my investability, I suppose, my experience. So, you know, I'm absolutely looking at doing more and more projects and trying to generate more and more cash flow and generate more cash for the investor that's putting that money in. You know, there was some good conversation around that last night at the Leeds SaaS event. So yeah, I mean, it's just trying to really, you know, hone my skills and try and build up that credibility so that, you know, we can take that wider and help some investors as well.
And along the way, we've mentioned some of the challenges and opportunities moving from corporate life. Any lessons you'd like to share on your SaaS journey for people listening to the SaaS Business Podcast?
Yeah, SaaS specifically is just really try and understand what the rules are. There are some very definite rules and regulations there. However, I would also say some of them can be a little bit grey area as well. So, you know, you really have to take good advice and having the education, which is the most important first step from doing anything really, is getting that education and understanding how that works, but having some good people around you so that their experience and capabilities can help you do what you're doing. Everything always takes longer than you expect it to, I guess, would be the other one there. And that's property generally, but from a SaaS point of view, the commercial building that I bought, I first viewed that building in June 2019, and we completed on that in January 2020. So it was a long, complicated process to go through, but you know, it was a fairly complex purchase with seven different tenants that were all in situ. So yeah, there was a lot of work for that and a lot of time. So yeah, just try and plan some extra time and some breathing space into the projects that you're doing, I guess.
Yeah, I can definitely reinforce that. I remember when I was writing the SaaS Pensions book, it was one of the challenges was to try and create the text and the book that could create the depth of knowledge and detail that would make some significant progress to keeping people safe, while steering clear of advice, because I'm not qualified to give that advice, but also to not put them off with the detail, because I actually don't want everybody to get a SaaS. I want everybody to understand that freedom of choice of there is something called a SaaS. You know, 26 years of corporate life, and I'd never heard of a SaaS. And I know one person who their family have had a SaaS since 1978. And you just think of the compounding of 42 years of having a SaaS has had for that family unit. And you and I both know others that have had in their 1970s, 1980s. So that phenomenal growth, but equally compounding of great decisions within your SaaS can work the other way of compounding of bad decisions as well. So hopefully I found that balance in the book. And for those of you who haven't got the book, check it out on Amazon, Kindle and Audible. It's called SaaS Pensions. So I think those lessons learned of following the rules, good due diligence, allowing longer than you actually think, and great advice. I think that's absolutely spot on, David. And it's clearly paid you dividends as well.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with what I've been able to achieve in that kind of 9 month period. And, you know, like I say, I've got big plans for this year, so there's definitely more going to be coming. So, yeah, it's exciting. It's good. It's been a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of conversation to try and get there. But, you know, I think I have a reasonable understanding now, and I've definitely got good people that I can ask advice from that are qualified to give the advice. So, yeah, it's good.
Brilliant. Well, look, David, I really appreciate you sharing some real pearls of wisdom there. And how would people follow you if they want to get in contact with you?
Primarily through Facebook, I guess. As you said, I'm fairly active on the SaaS Alliance one. I'm part of Wealth Builders community as well. So there's a lot of stuff in there. Facebook Messenger, if people want to get me. I am on LinkedIn, but I'm not very good at using LinkedIn.
Well, look, David, only remains for me to say thank you very much for giving up your precious time. It's an amazing story, doing great things. And thank you very much, David Johns.
Thank you, Mark. Always a pleasure.
Are you inspired and want to know more? Well, join our Facebook group, SaaS Alliance, and check out my number one Amazon best-selling book, SaaS Pensions, Creating Extraordinary Levels of Compounding Wealth. You can also check out SaaS Alliance website at www.saasalliance.org. Until next time, thank you for listening.